Hello, everyone, and welcome to TPE Network Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm Hank.
I'm Amy.
And we're your hosts, covering all the best movies. Yes, the best. We won't bother covering the worst ones, unless it's just a passion project. But this time we're going to talk about Solo, A Star Wars Story. And as we do on every episode of our Movie Reviews Podcast, we like to start out with the setting itself. Did the setting draw you in? Did it feel Star Wars-ish to you?
Yes, it did. I liked that we got to see a lot of different places because I think especially those of us who grew up with the original trilogy were used to Hoth and Tatooine and Bespin, and then that's it. But now we're getting to see all kinds of new places, new planets and environments that all look different. So I did really like that. I sometimes had a hard time telling, are we on a different planet now, or is it another location on the same planet? But mostly I thought it was really cool. I absolutely loved the, I guess you would call it a, what kind of a train was that, that they, where they were doing the train heist?
That's exactly what I was going to mention, was like, almost like a rail train.
Yeah. I was thinking maglev, you know, magnetic levitation, that it kind of treated it sort of as a monorail that could spin around.
Simply, to me, it looked like something you'd see at Cedar Point. You just like stuck on the bottom. It was hooked to the bottom and it's just wrapping around, spinning around, making you sick.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could see that. But anyway, that was awesome. When I saw it in the previews, I was really psyched to see that. And it was pretty great. And it also led to some fantastic stunts with the magnetic boots, which reminds me of some of the cool stuff you see in the show The Expanse, if you've ever watched that.
You're like the 100th person to mention The Expanse in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to bookmark it and watch it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth it. One thing about it is it's a little more scientifically accurate than this, which there's a lot of things which aren't so scientifically accurate, but it's a space opera, so that's totally fine with me for Star Wars.
Yes. Do you think at some point they'll adopt the Marvel, here's the big font across the screen? It's like Impact or Champion font, and they stamp it across the screen. We're in Wakanda now.
I don't know if they would. I think they're pretty set on their traditions of the ways that it's been done in previous Star Wars movies. I'm not sure if they'd start doing that, although they might, just to avoid confusion. Oh, another thing I did like about the setting, though, is I like that they showed a bit more of what like life is like for ordinary people under the rule of the Empire. Because that's one thing I wondered. In the original movies, we just saw the rebellion mostly. We didn't see what it meant to be on one of the main planets and them having to deal with all of the security checkpoints and stuff. It made it feel very real.
Okay. Anything else on the setting you want to talk about before we head to characters?
Overall, I loved it. I felt like it expanded the world for me. So,
okay. I thought they did a good job on the setting. I was never at a point where I was like, you know, I don't believe it. That's all you have to do to make me buy in is just don't take me out of the story. We can't get to every character, obviously, but we'll get to some of them and talk about how they came across. And this is the most controversial one. Han Solo himself. Some people love him. Some people hate him. What were your thoughts?
I was really leery of it going into the movie. I wasn't sure if I would like this one. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I had seen the previews and the photos and I thought, I don't know, he's not Han. But then when I got to the movie, from the very first scenes, when he pulled out the rock and said it was a thermal detonator and he just armed it, he was told, that didn't go click. You just made a click sound with your mouth. I thought, this is totally Han. This is what he does. He was cocky, he was confident, impulsive, took dumb risks, he was charismatic, and he smirked, and he was basically everything that Han Solo should be, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. I went into the movie with very low expectations, and I left the theater feeling like he was a really good character, that he portrayed all the iconic moments, him and Chewie, that bond, when he got the blaster and all, you know, just those iconic items, the Millennium Falcon and everything, it all felt real to me. It all felt really good.
Yeah, and it didn't feel forced either.
No.
I felt like it was a very genuine way of introducing the characters. And, you know, it did feel like a very natural development of a friendship. Like, we knew it was going to happen, but it didn't feel awkward or inevitably, you know, like this is going to happen no matter how we portray it. No, they made it feel natural.
The portrayal of Chewbacca, I love the made up language, and I love that they had that instant bond after the big fight scene and such.
Mm-hmm.
And Chewbacca is so loyal, even from just the get-go. He was super loyal. I really liked that character.
Me too. I really liked hearing Han Solo speak Wookiee, because we know he understands it perfectly. And just hearing him attempt it, you can tell why he never bothers, because it's super hard to do. But it was so funny. The perfect way for them to introduce that and then never do it again.
On to Beckett, Woody Harrelson. I'm telling you, as he ages, his roles, in my opinion, are getting so much better. I absolutely loved his portrayal of Beckett. He's everything you would think of as a space pirate.
I totally bought it. And he never quite knew what he was going to do, because you went back and forth between admiring him and thinking, well, deep down, he's a good guy, to thinking, oh, he's going to betray everybody anyway, because that's what he does. So, yeah, they kept you guessing, and I think he made a great mentor figure for Han.
Definitely. Oh, they hit the nail on the head with that.
Mm-hmm.
Kira, Emilia Clarke. I was coming into this movie feeling like, I don't care who this woman is. She's no Leia. You know, I don't want to like her at all. But she did such a great job playing that character and making me believe that this character's been through so much and she had to do whatever it is she had to do. And I walked away from the movie going, all right, I'm more intrigued than I was before. So great job.
I don't know. I actually think I disagree with you a little bit here. I didn't dislike her, but I don't know. There wasn't anything about her that made me really feel all that interested. I don't know. I can't figure out exactly how to explain it, but she didn't stand out as much.
Even her fighting skills and who she was talking to at the end and taking off and such, that didn't even pique your interest.
Well, that part definitely piqued my interest. And yeah, her fighting skills are pretty good, and she was very good at playing a role. If you've ever been a role player, you'd know she's the social rogue. You know, like she can con people and make them believe she's who she says she is at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she was an interesting character. I guess it's just a personal thing. Like she didn't appeal to me in particular. I don't know why, but she was fine. She did not detract from the movie in any way.
Now I'm going to say something, and some people may get mad or what have you, but I am standing behind this. Donald Glover was the best character on the screen to me at all times. Whenever he was on the screen, he dominated. My high watermark, because you're talking about Lando Calrissian. I'm black. I grew up going, oh my gosh, this is such a cool character. This is such a cool character. So my bar for someone taking that role after Billy Dee Williams is so high, it's astronomical. I was like, I'm going to hate this fool, and I'm going to throw my pop at the screen and get really upset and storm out of here in 5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, whoa. He's super charismatic. He's killing it. He was so excellent. He was everything I wanted Lando to be. I take my hat off to you, sir. Donald Glover.
I agree. I am a big fan of Donald Glover in a lot of the things I've seen him in. And when I heard he was cast, I thought, hey, this could be really good. But he blew it out of the water. I wasn't really expecting it to be quite that much fun. He was larger than life. It was an already great character, and he managed to flesh him out even more in ways that were totally consistent. You kept thinking, yep, I can see Lando doing that. And the capes and the scarves and the ridiculous shirts and the Calrissian Chronicles.
This guy's got way too many capes. I'm even thinking that you could pull off a movie with him.
Oh, you absolutely could. I would watch a Lando movie in a heartbeat.
Now on to Val. That character I liked from the instant they brought her on, because she seemed like the yin to Woody Harrelson's yang. But did you like her or no?
I did. You know, she wasn't around in the movie as long as some of the others, but she was a very solid character from the beginning, and I liked her skepticism. She was a very down-to-earth person, and she clearly was a great partner for Beckett.
Yes.
You know, his his behavior and his choices kind of changed after she left the story. And maybe things might have turned out differently if she hadn't.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I thought for sure if she'd have been around, the whole story would have been written differently because they wouldn't have been able to do some of the things because she would have talked him out of so many different errors he made. She had a really good gut feeling about various things. And I don't know how much of that was legit or how much of that was maybe she played a bigger role than we think. I don't know. But just some speculation about that character.
Mm-hmm. I was quite happy with her arc, even though it was short. And it does make you kind of wonder more about her backstory.
A little bit of comic relief in some aspects. L337. And she was just going off the edge at all times. It was pretty funny.
I wrote down a couple of my favorite lines from the movie, and one of them for her was, "Do you need anything? Equal rights." Just, and I've read articles that say that there's a big problem in the Star Wars universe with how they treat droids, and they actually took this and they addressed it and made it kind of funny at the same time. Her little rebellion that she started was hilarious.
Paul Bettany, Dryden Voss, this bothered me. After seeing him in Avengers Infinity War and then playing this dark character, which he did really well, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like he was delusional. I felt like he was a narcissist, a control freak, and the list goes on and on. He hit that to a T, but it was also unsettling. Any feelings like that for you?
Yes, I think you're right. I think he had a little bit of a Bond villain vibe. You know, he had that suave style, and he's kind of a classic villain, but he was a little unsettling. And especially how, you know, they're discussing, how are they going to fix this? How are they going to get the, what did they call it? The fuel they needed. And they're laughing about it. At the same time, there's this subtext of, if you don't get this right, I will kill you horribly. So yes, very intimidating, but really fun to watch. And yes, I kept thinking, no, Vision, why did you turn evil?
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it. Oh, my goodness. Just a couple more I want to touch on. I did not know that was Jon Favreau doing Rio Durant voice.
I know. I saw that in the credits, and I was just like, oh, wow. And so, Rio was fantastic. Again, another character who wasn't there very long, but he had me laughing so hard. And is it just me, or did he feel a little bit like he played the role of the Rocket Raccoon?
That's what I thought the voice was. I honestly thought I was going to see Bradley Cooper or something up there because it sounded like he was doing a Rocket Raccoon. Oh, my gosh. That is excellent. He was fun. Really fun. And when he pulled his pants up with the other arms and stuff, that I thought that scene was hilarious. And Solo calls him out on it, like, I saw your other set of arms, come down and pull your pants up. That was great.
It was great.
The only other one I really want to touch on is Infin's Nest, whatever it is. If I'm saying it wrong, don't take my Star Wars card from me, please. But anywho, did you get the sense that she was related to Val?
Yes. Oh, gosh, you're reading my mind here. That's exactly what I thought, because she looked like she could have been maybe Val and Beckett's daughter. She'd be the right age. She looked about right.
Yes.
But she said something about her mother dying, and I'm not sure what that referred to, though. This makes me think that there's more to the story, and maybe they'll flesh that out in some books or something. You know, the way that Star Wars does, they produce a lot of extra material, so Who knows? There could be a lot more about her.
Because she seemed to know every move they were going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was skeptical of the Val character, because I was like, you guys seem to know a lot about what move the other person's going to make without showing us any context for why you would know that. So that's what I was thinking, too. So great.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's more going on there. And I was really very curious and want to know more, especially since their group is essentially like the beginnings of the rebellion, or probably more likely. And I'm thinking there might be a number of different groups like that out there who were starting to fight back against the Empire. And eventually they probably combined forces and became the rebellion. But obviously we're seeing the beginnings of that.
Yes. If we're good on characters, let's go to some wins.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my wins for this film is it was a space heist film done right.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you can't go wrong with a really good heist film.
I think they did a fantastic job of making it a believable enough story, then integrating so many different things that every Han Solo fan would have said, oh, that's crap if you didn't include blank. And I think they included enough to where we're like, all right, this is pretty good. You know, I like how we start the story of the Kessel Run and and all of that stuff. Just the Millennium Falcon, the blaster, everything, the quick wit, the quick thinking, con artistry. I think there was just a lot of wins to be had with this film. A quick aside, at Christmas time, my girlfriend got me some Star Wars themed Kleenex. They come in this little fold up thing. So I tucked them in my pocket and I go, isn't this ironic? Because when I'm disappointed with this movie, I'll cry into these. And I was not disappointed with the movie. So I was like, well, joke's on me. Any other wins that really stand out to you?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up a few specific things. For one thing, I was really unsure about this movie because I used to read a number of the Expanded Universe novels. Back in the day, I collected a whole bunch of them. And one of the series that I liked the most was the Han Solo trilogy by A.C. Crispin, which tells his origin story. And then they said the whole Expanded Universe is now it's not canon anymore. And we're going to rewrite all the stories. And I thought, oh, but that was such a good story. And I'm going to hate this now. No, I didn't. While those books are still a fun story to read, went back and started reading it again and thinking, oh, you know, they're bringing the quotes and the little pieces from later in the movies, but it's just so ham-handed how they've done it. And then in this movie, like, because they would just quote things like, I've got a bad feeling about this is boring once you've heard it that many times. But when he says in the movie, I have a really good feeling about this, you know, that's how you make it work. And one of my favorite lines, I laughed so loud, I think I annoyed the other theater goers. I hate you. I know.
Love it. So
that was one thing I thought they did a really good job of, is having those callbacks and making it come off so well. And then it had a really tight script there weren't wasted scenes. When they make an offhand comment, you know, it comes up later. Everything had a purpose and they had very few loose ends. Everything was tied up quite well or hinted that it would be addressed in the future. And it just seemed extremely well directed. And then I found out when I was watching the credits, oh, Ron Howard directed it. Yeah. So that explains a lot.
Oh, okay. All right.
One last thing. And I have to talk about this. The Kessel Run. I don't know if you've ever been to Disneyland or Disney World, but it felt like being on the ride Star Tours. I was literally gripping the armrests of my seat with my eyes wide, like I am flying on the Millennium Falcon. I felt like that. It was so well done. I was so excited. I just was grinning like crazy. And I feel like such a nerd for saying this, but when they're going through the maelstrom and they see the maw and then they see that tentacle creature, that Lovecraftian horror, and they're too close to both of them and they're trying to figure out how to get past, I thought, it's Scylla and Charybdis, which if you've ever read Homer's The Odyssey, Charybdis was the whirlpool that Odysseus and his men had to sail past and not get sucked in. But on the other side was a cliff, and in the cliff was a cave where the monster Scylla lived. If they got too close to her, she'd eat them. So it felt just like this scene, and I felt like the biggest nerd for thinking that was awesome.
That is great. There's somebody out there right now going, yes, yes.
Somebody else thought the same thing.
Got it. I'm with you. You're my spirit podcaster.
Yes.
That is great.
Just going to say, tons of wins for me. There was so much I love, but those are the big highlights.
I love how the boastfulness of the Kessel Run instantly started to inch high. You know, it just started getting better and better and better. I made the Kessel Run and I was like,
yes.
But the believability of the movie and having all the right characters, I felt so happy that they brought together this exact combination of characters I didn't know who the heck they were, and then characters I absolutely love. Great balance.
Yeah, I think that even if you have a really great main character, most movies, they're made by their secondary characters. If you don't have a good cast, then there's no point. So just the fact that we had the characters that we knew and loved, like Han, Chewie, and Lando, and they were so well done. And we had a bunch of new characters that we really liked right from the beginning, I think. Most of them, I thought, were really interesting from the get-go.
Let's move on to some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff didn't really make much sense. And I know they're trying to build a mystery with Darth Maul being in cahoots, as it were, as the older people would say, with Kira. And I just wish they would have done something a little more with that. I know they hat tipped earlier with her fighting style. I thought that was
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I thought that was like a hat tip, like, oh, those are some pretty nifty moves. Who else can do that in the Star Wars universe? But just some way to flesh that out a little, just a pinch more, and I would have been even more, I'm intrigued, but I would have been even more intrigued.
Yeah, well, I noticed that earlier on, Dryden Vos said something about how he had to answer to somebody. He works for somebody who he can't tell no. So I'm kind of wondering, what kind of a partnership do they have here? And do they know who Maul really is? And like, what kind of an alliance is going on there? There's so many unanswered questions. It almost feels like this is leading into another movie. But I'm trying to remember. I think I'd heard some rumors they might do a Darth Maul movie.
Oh,
but I don't know. I'm wondering if I misremembered that, because I don't see anything about that on any of the schedules of upcoming movies. But if they did a Darth Maul movie, it occurred to me that so far we have this pattern of all of these side Star Wars movies seeming to be built around resolving plot holes or bad writing. Because in Rogue One, it was all about, why did the Death Star have such a glaring weakness? And in this one, so for Solo, it says it's about, why did he say he made the Kessel Run in so many parsecs? Because parsecs is a unit of distance and not time. And people have been complaining about that for years. So they solved that problem. And then now, if they bring up Darth Maul, that's going to address the bad, bad writing from Phantom Menace, where they built him up as so scary and then unceremoniously killed him.
Right.
So are they just going to make all these movies about fixing the stuff they did wrong in previous movies?
It might not be a bad idea.
Hey, so far I'm loving it. So, you know, I'm not going to complain.
They're like, we will retcon all of this. Don't worry. I really didn't have a lot of problems. I'm sure I could scratch something up if I need to, but I really did not have a lot of problems with this film.
I tried to think of some, but the only thing I could think of was Kira, and she's not really a problem for me. It's just I wasn't as psyched about her. But now that you're talking about her fighting style and everything, I'm thinking, well, I've got to go watch it again, and maybe I'll completely change my mind about her. So who knows? Definitely no glaring problems for me.
Okay. Let's dole out our ratings then. I can't even describe how off the charts I thought the movie was as compared to what I had heard from even friends and acquaintances alike, other content creators, YouTubers and such that I'm kind of cool with, really had me believing that I was going to be let down in some way, shape or form. So I just kind of shut out all the other feedback and noise and such, and I just kind of went into the movie and just cleared my mind and wanted to watch it for myself, and I was so pleasantly surprised. From the get-go, I was immersed in the characters and the storytelling, the world building. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I don't think it was perfect, so I'm giving it a 9 out of 10, where I was thinking beforehand that it could be a 7 or something like that. But I'm going to give it a solid 9. I will watch this multiple times.
I have to say that I'm a little hesitant because my very first review, I don't want to give it too high a rating, but it was so much fun. I had a hard time thinking of anything I disliked. And I'm not kidding. I spent so much of the movie just sitting there grinning, which, I mean, even if I really enjoy a movie, I don't just sit there and smile ear to ear. So this was a really, really fun movie. I'm going to give it a 9.5 just to allow that wiggle room. Like, it can't be absolutely perfect, can it? You know?
Right. Right. We don't, you know, sometimes we don't want to go there because then they're saying there's no flaws or there's no real holes or something makes up for it so much that it covers everything else up and it's hard to do.
And I'll be honest, I even liked The Phantom Menace the first time I saw it in theaters.
I did too. Anybody that tells you they didn't, they're lying, because so many people were hyped for that movie and nobody came out of that movie whining like they say they do.
I was so excited about a new Star Wars movie because I had been a Star Wars fan for years. I was really into Star Wars in high school. And then this movie was coming out and I was so happy. It was going to be coming out right after I got home from college for the summer. And I had made plans to go on opening day. And then my mother had scheduled my wisdom teeth removal surgery for the day before.
Oh my goodness.
I was so mad at her. I still went. I was on tons of pain meds and I couldn't have any popcorn or anything, but I made it. I was such a devoted fan. And just the excitement of having a new Star Wars movie was, after all that time, was so exciting. I hope we don't lose that when they're bringing so many of them out. I was kind of like, oh yeah, Solo, it's another Star Wars movie. And then I got in the theater and remembered why I love Star Wars so much.
All right. Any final thoughts?
I want to go back and see it again. I really want to see it again as soon as possible.
Me too. So in my opinion, they're on a roll. They're going to keep the momentum going. I don't know what the box office problem seemed to be on this one, but I think they'll get that rectified real soon.
I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on box office returns and everything, but I think this is a movie that's going to stand the test of time.
Definitely. All right. Thank you so much, Amy, for joining me on this edition of TPE Network Movie Reviews Podcast. For Amy, I'm Hank. Until the next time, we're signing off.
See you next time.
Tiger Prince Entertainment.
There ain't nothing else like it.